Christ, the Spirit of God comes in. He doesn't take full control until you yield to Him full control. And many Christians don't experience the gifts of the Holy Spirit because they haven't yielded themselves fully to the Lord. And so we urge you to take that first step, is to totally yield yourself to God so that you might know and discover the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Those gifts are given to you. They are gifts that are given to every believer in the church. Tonight we're looking at the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I'll take my intimidating glasses off and put my non-intimidating glasses on. And is that better? No? Too bad. All right. We're looking at the gifts of evangelism. The gifts of evangelism. There are three passages that speak of the gift of evangelism, beginning first of all with Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. Remember, there are three passages that list gifts of the Holy Spirit. Quiz time, pop quiz. Do you know it? Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12 to 14, and Ephesians what? 4, I just announced it. Okay, Ephesians 4, verse 11 says this, "And He gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers." And so we have it very clearly delineated for us that God has given to the church and put within the church people that are gifted with the gift of evangelism. We see in Acts chapter 21 that a man named Philip was a gifted evangelist. And then in Timothy, Paul urges Timothy to do the work of evangelism. There's no indication that he had the gift of evangelism, but the Lord tells us that we're all to be about our Father's business. We're all to be doing what God calls us to do. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature is not a selective passage just for apostles. It's for the whole church. And when Jesus said, "If you are ashamed of me and my words, I will be ashamed of you before my Father in heaven," that was to the whole church, that all of us are to be unashamed of Christ. "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Be ready always to give an answer, a reason of the hope that is in you. We are to be ready always to share our faith with others. But some people are specially gifted with the gift of evangelism. I want to share with you just a little experience of my own with this gift of evangelism. As I was growing up, we had youth group. And youth group back then was different than it is now. We didn't play any games except on game night or some social event. But it was mainly the youth group would have special services and they would prepare the service. And I remember one of our senior ladies, she was a senior in high school, and she got really fervent and was preaching to us about all of our needs, to what we need to do for the Lord. And one night she was telling us that we need to be out there preaching the gospel to everybody. We need to be sharing Christ with our friends. And I sat there as a cynic and I said, "I'd like to see you doing it first." Because she really didn't do it. And nobody did it. And I'd hear many sermons about it, but I didn't see anybody in the church doing it, or very, very few people in the church actually doing any evangelism. And then I went to Nyack College and participated in some outreach programs. And I joined the Brooklyn Gospel Team because I wanted to do what Christ told us to do, to go and witness to all people. And so we would do the hard things of evangelism, cold turkey evangelism. And we would go out on the streets of Brooklyn, New York, knowing no one, and we'd have tracts in our hands and walk by and talk to people and give them a tract and ask them if they know the Lord as their Savior and try to lead them to Christ. How many of you have ever done that in Brooklyn, New York? No. You've done it somewhere. It's a scary thing. It's a terrifying thing, especially for shy people. I remember some of those nights, that's really where I met Marilyn and got to know her. I remember one night it was sub-zero, and we were so faithful to the Lord in doing this, we were out on the streets in sub-zero temperatures. There weren't any Brooklynites out there, but just crazy people. And we were out there passing out tracts, and it got back, and one of my little fingers was frozen. And until this day, it still is numb when I have cold weather. But as I went through that process, I was realizing and wondering, do I have the gift of evangelism? Nothing seems to be happening. There weren't very many people coming to the Lord. There were a few, but it was a difficult time. And then I worked in a mission in New York City. And in that mission, we had the superintendent of the mission who had the gift of evangelism, at least he thought he did. And so he had all these wonderful strategies for reaching people for Christ. And one of the ways to do so was to wear a sandwich board. A sandwich board is a sign that goes on both sides of your body and hangs over your shoulders. And it covers most of your body. And you're to put that thing on, and it usually says, "Repent or you're going to hell." The backside says, "Jesus is coming again." Something really evangelistic. And you were to take that and just walk around town with it. Well, fortunately, I bypassed that one, didn't have to do it. But he had other ways. He had these signs that you were to take on some of the special occasions when they had parades. And these were signs that you were to lift up high above the whole crowd, and same kind of message. You're going to hell. Repent. Jesus is coming again. Those kinds of things. As I looked at it, I thought, is this evangelism? I was terrified of it. And probably the worst experience was, he made us go down to 42nd and Broadway, probably the most populated place on earth, and stand on a street corner and preach evangelistic sermons. And I remember the first time going down and he said, "You're preaching tonight." I was scared to death. Number one, we didn't have microphones. You weren't allowed to use them. But we literally had a soapbox that we would stand on. We had a flag so we'd fulfill all the law. And we would stand on a soapbox and scream our fool heads off trying to get somebody's attention. And I remember standing there, and these people are coming this way and that way, and the lights change and the honking of the horn. And I'm up there trying to tell them about Jesus, and nobody's listening. This is evangelism. I want to tell you tonight, that's not evangelism. That's not necessarily what the gift of evangelism is about, nor is it the most effective way to evangelize. God has many ways for us to evangelize, and He has many gifts and varieties of gifts of evangelism. And so I want us to look at that tonight. I've identified four kinds of evangelism. Four kinds of evangelism in which people are gifted. There's personal evangelism, there's public or mass evangelism, there's apologetics, and there's martyrdom. I wonder, is there anybody here tonight with the gift of martyrdom? Probably not, or you wouldn't be here. Or maybe in the future you'll excel in that gift as well. There's a definition for evangelism I thought was very appropriate. It means a publisher of glad tidings, a publisher of glad tidings. It can be a preacher, someone that preaches well or stands in front of a crowd and explains the gospel, or it can be a personal evangelist, someone that brings people to Christ individually. But evangelism is proclamation of the gospel and leading people to Jesus Christ. I want us very simply tonight to go through these four ways of evangelism, these four means of evangelism, and ask yourself, are you gifted in any of these ways? And let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, as we open the Word tonight, as we look at these things, we want You to give us understanding. Lord, it's not our intent to stand up here and badger people or force people or embarrass people or make people feel constrained to go out in the streets and do strange things. But Lord, we want to find those areas in which we are gifted. And so we ask that You would reveal it to us and give us understanding. In Jesus' name, amen. Make no mistake about it. All of us are to be evangelists, that we all are to be sharing our faith with other people. But we are to do it in the context of the giftedness that God has given to us. The first of the areas of giftedness in evangelism that I see is the personal evangelist. It's exemplified by Andrew. Andrew in the scriptures was a disciple of Jesus, and every reference to Andrew shows his character. Andrew was always reaching out to bring somebody else to Jesus. Now, he wasn't a great preacher. We don't hear anything about his preaching. But we see him as a personal worker in which he made relationships with people and then brought them to Jesus. That's personal evangelism. Andrew perhaps did not have the gift of speaking in public. He did not have the gifts of reasoning powers. He did not have some of the other gifts that go along with being an evangelist. But he had the gift of loving people. And some of you, God has gifted with the ability to love people and to build relationships. Think about it for a moment. Ask yourself, am I gifted in the area of building relationships? How many friends do you have? Think about it. One. One and a half. As I think of friendship, all through my life, I had some very close friends, what we call best friends. But I didn't have a large community of people that gathered around and were my buddies and friends. But in every place the Lord has sent me, there was always one person who became that very special friend. But some people have the ability, wherever they go, to strike up deep and rich friendships. And that's part of this gift of personal evangelism. It's the ability to reach out to people and draw them in. They are drawn, first of all, by your personality, by your sense of humor, or by your intellect, or by your handsomeness, or your beauty. But there's something tangible, there's something very practical that draws them. But then with the gift of evangelism, you have the gift of taking the gospel message and putting it within your carcass. That is, within your personality framework, you incorporate the gospel and use that to bring people to Jesus. Andrew had that kind of giftedness. He was able to reach out and befriend people and have great conversations, and people trusted him right off, and they immediately invited them to come meet Jesus. Now, there are people today that have that gift of personal evangelism. Not everybody has it. I don't feel that I have it. It has always been very difficult for me to build relationships with people and try to bring them to Jesus. I don't have that natural charisma that people just gather around me in a crowd and I lead them to Christ. But other people have a different gift. I have a friend, Sanford Hashimoto. Any of you ever hear of him? I know Dave. Some of you have. He's a missionary. Sanford Hashimoto is a Japanese-American. And he went to Brazil as a missionary, but one of the things we heard about before he came to Brazil was this guy is a fantastic evangelist. So we're thinking in terms of this guy that's going to stand up, and he's probably got a white suit on and a flashy smile, and he's Mr. Guy Smiley, and he stands up and he preaches and lots of people come to Christ, but that wasn't his gift. Sanford has a terrible time speaking in public. He's not a public speaker. Number one, he's Japanese, and he never learned the English language very well, even though he's an American. And so he speaks like you or me, but kind of in a pidgin English, and it's difficult to follow him sometimes when he's preaching. But Sanford has a magnetic personality, and I've looked at it and I've thought, how could I replicate that? How can I be like that? And you can't. You really can't analyze it and say, oh, well, Sanford is good at this because there's no reasoning behind it. When we went to Brazil, we were required to go through a year of language study and then 6 months of tutoring so that we get the language right. Then you had to pass tests. Well, Sanford had to do the same thing, but Sanford was terrible at the language. You think he speaks English with an accent and with inability. In Portuguese, it's very, very difficult for him. It was hard for me to listen to his Portuguese. So difficult it was for him, and immediately our thought was, this guy's not going to work out as a missionary because he can't talk right. And to evangelize people, you got to talk right. But that wasn't so with Sanford. Even while he was in language school, Sanford was bringing people to Jesus. Everywhere he went, almost every relationship he built with somebody, he used that as a platform to draw them to Jesus. And such a love of Christ that oozes through this man, that everybody that he meets is drawn to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I stand in awe. I stand in awe not of Sanford, but of the gift of God that's given to him to personally be able to approach people, build a relationship, and draw them to Christ. That is a gift that not many people have. Some of you may have that gift, that ability to be able to draw people, and people like you, and you like people. As I look around, is there anybody here that people like? Yeah, I'm sure there are. But there are lots of people with nice personality that don't have the gift of evangelism. You see, that gift of evangelism also is accompanied by a special anointing of the Lord. It is a love for the Lord Jesus that's deep and rich and just oozes out of everything that you do and all that you say. It's a love for the Lord Jesus that's so simple that nobody can criticize it. With my friend Sanford, nobody could throw stones at him. Nobody could be mad at him. He couldn't offend anybody if he tried, because he's such a loving person and the love of the Lord Jesus Christ shines through him. And so perhaps you have that gift of evangelism. Maybe you're not at the point that Sanford is, but you do already have that love for people and that deep love for the Lord Jesus Christ that just shines through. You've got the makings of the gift of personal evangelism. The second kind of evangelism is that which is most familiar to us. It's called mass evangelism or public evangelism. That is the standing up in Times Square and preaching a sermon. As I went out there and did my little sermonette, I was so embarrassed to be able to stand on this platform, and I couldn't wait to get done, so my sermon was short. And some of you are going to wish we had the soapbox here. But I couldn't wait to get down. I wanted to go run and hide. But I had a friend with me that had another gift. He had the gift of public evangelism. He had the gift of 42nd and Broadway evangelism. This guy, I got done speaking, and our leader says to him, "It's your turn to stand up and preach." Well, this guy doesn't look like much. There's nothing that really draws you to him. But he stood up and preached. And I'll never forget, he stood up on that little podium, and he looked around at the crowd, and he stuck his rear end out, and just like this, he started to preach. He looked like the Hunchback of Notre Dame. And he started to rant and rave, and I thought, man, Dwayne, that's not you. Yet it is him. And he began to express the gospel and tell stories, and his flamboyancy just drew the crowd, and I looked around, and people were stopping. This is 42nd Street, Times Square, and all around us was a crowd, and they were stopped, and nobody could get through the sidewalk, because Dwayne was preaching. And what did they stop to see? Kind of like John the Baptist. What did they see? A reed shaking in the wind? They were seeing the crazy man. That's what they were looking at. But God used Dwayne in the preaching of the gospel in the public arena to draw a crowd, and they stopped and they listened. Now, there wasn't a great deal of people that came forward at an altar call. It's really hard to do that in the middle of a crowd. But God used him in that area. I think of another pastor and missionary who has the gift of public evangelism, and that's missionary and evangelist Tom Kyle. Anybody know Tom Kyle? Nobody knows him. Oh, we'll have to invite him sometime. He preached here and they don't know him. Oh, okay. If you ever heard Tom Kyle preach, you would always remember him. Tom is a big man. And he's got white hair. He's always had white hair, as long as I can remember. Kind of like Dave's hair, but more. And it just flows backward. And the guy's so big that you come near him, it's like he's going to tackle you. Well, Tom gets up to preach, and when he preaches, doesn't matter what he's preaching, he sweats. Tom sweats so bad it drips on the floor, it runs down his neck, his shirt is soaked. I made fun of him once in a skit, putting a sheet in my back pocket and doing a Tom Kyle sermon and bringing that out and just drying myself off as I was going through it. But Tom has this dynamic way of presenting the gospel. And it's a gift. He was a missionary in Brazil before we got there, and God used him to raise up churches through the means of tent evangelism, just standing up and preaching in tents, drawing people to Christ, and then discipling them. And when I went for my interviews for missionary service, we were in the interview, and Dr. Lewis King looked at Marilyn. And he said, "Now I have a question for you, Marilyn. How does your husband preach?" And being the wonderful, tactful woman she is, she said, "Well, he's always got something good to say." And she said a couple other complimentary things. And L.L. King turns to me and he says, "Richard,
We want you to preach like Tom Kyle. If you're going to Brazil as a missionary, you've got to learn to preach like Tom Kyle. And I had never heard of him. I didn't know who he was. So the first time I heard him preach, I thought, oh my goodness. So now you know why I sweat when I preach. But Tom has that natural gift, not just of preaching, not just of being interesting when he's preaching, and not just to be eloquent, but he has the gift of proclaiming the gospel and giving an invitation. And there's something, I would say, for lack of a better word, magical. Where Tom Kyle can give an altar call, even if he didn't preach, he could stand up and say, if you need to come to Jesus, come right now. The altar's open. And people will come running to the altar. It is amazing. And you look at that and you say, that is the gift of evangelism. In the New Testament, Philip had the gift of evangelism. He was a deacon. And yet God had gifted him to stand up in public and preach. And there was great effects from his preaching. He was preaching, and as he preached, people were coming to Christ, people were being healed. There was a tremendous response, not because of him as a man, but because of the anointing of God and the gift of evangelism that was on him. God has gifted some people with a special anointing from the Holy Spirit to be that kind of evangelist. We can have a long list of men today that we know that have that gift, well-known people, beginning with Billy Graham, Louise Palau, Bill Bright, Jack Wirtzen, on and on and on. The list goes of men that have been used of God because there's an anointing on their ministry. It doesn't mean they're more special than somebody else, doesn't mean they're more intelligent, but there is a giftedness that when they present the gospel, people come to Christ. Most of us have heard of D.L. Moody. D.L. Moody, David Moody. We never use his name, do we? D.L. So from now on, Dwight. From now on, my name's R.W., okay? R.W. LaFount. But D.L. Moody was a great preacher and a great evangelist. But he wasn't always. You see, when he came to Christ, he was led to Christ by the owner of a store, and he was a shoe salesman. He was involved in sales. He loved sales. And so as he came to Christ and began to be nurtured and discipled, he went to church and he discovered this wonderful thing called Sunday school. Now back then, Sunday school was different than it is now. There were more people going to Sunday school than to church. And when you came to church on Sunday morning, there was a mass exodus of people leaving Sunday school that only came for the Sunday school, and some other people came to worship. D.L. Moody took on the Sunday school as an evangelistic tool. And he began to go out into the streets and compel them to come in, and he had the biggest class. He says, back then, you couldn't just start a Sunday school class. You had to get permission. You couldn't teach a Sunday school class because the people were lined up waiting for a class to teach. They wanted to teach. And D.L. said, I wanted to teach and I wanted to preach, and I just had this fire inside of me. And so he went out and he brought them in. He was first involved with a teacher in the Sunday school who had a very large girls class. And the teacher was going to have to move to another community and was telling Dwight Moody that he had to take over and teach that class. And the teacher confessed to him, he said, Dwight, I want to tell you that it's unfortunate for all the years that I've taught this class, I've never led one of these girls. D.L. Moody said, well, that's not right. Let's go out and present Christ to each one of them. And so for 10 weeks, every night of the week and every day that they had free, they went out and visited every girl in that class, which was a very, very large class. And D.L. Moody says that as they came in and they spoke to these children, those children's hearts were broken and they received Christ. After the 10 weeks were over, they looked at it and they said, every one of the girls in our Sunday school class has made a personal profession of faith in Jesus Christ. Now, D.L. Moody didn't know that he had a gift of evangelism, but it was evident in those visits. And then came the opportunity for him to take a Sunday school class on as his own. And he took it with a fire inside of him. He said, there was something inside of me that motivated me to tell everybody and urge everybody to receive Christ as Savior. That's how he discovered his gift of evangelism. Began with a Sunday school class. We put it in today's context, it would begin with a 5-day club. Begin with the Awana program. Of having that fire inside to reach out and bring children to Christ is the beginning of that gift of mass evangelism. Mass evangelism giftedness involves usually a speaking ability, an ability to stand up and proclaim Christ publicly and do so clearly and articulately so that people listen and respond. The third type of evangelism is called apologetic. Now that doesn't mean apologizing for the gospel. It means reasoning the gospel, using a good defense to explain the gospel. In the New Testament, we have Apollos, who was mighty in the scriptures and convincing people that Jesus was the Christ. We have the Apostle Paul, who had that gift of apologetics. That is, in almost every situation, he reasoned with people. He went into the synagogues and he reasoned Christ with them. He argued Christ. He defended Christ. He reasoned from the scriptures and from logic. We all remember this Paul on Mars Hill as he stood and looked at all of the idols and the idolatry going on. Then he stood up to preach a sermon and used apologetics, use logic and reason and the scriptures to try to bring people to Christ. That is a giftedness that God has granted to some people in the church, that they have an ability in their minds to be able to comprehend deep thoughts and then be able to explain those deep thoughts and argue with people who are atheists or agnostics and convince them that Jesus Christ is Savior. There are a few people today that I could mention. One is now deceased, and that's Walter Martin. Many of you probably have heard Walter Martin on the radio over the years. Walter Martin had a gift of reaching people that were in cults, and he did so by using apologetics, that is, the reasoning of faith and the taking of Scripture and merging the two and arguing for a defense of the gospel, and powerfully so. Still, one of the books that I use when I'm dealing with cults is Walter Martin's book, Kingdom of the Cults. Excellent. Explanation of the gospel and reasoning and how to do that reasoning. Another one today is Ravi Zacharias. Ravi was formerly with the Christian Missionary Alliance, now is independent and has a ministry 100% reaching university students for Christ by the means of apologetics. This young man, I'll call him young because he's my age, probably a little bit older, also has flaming white hair. There's something about having all this white hair. I don't know. I don't have it. But Ravi will go into universities where he knows no one is a Christian and stand up and give a lecture on Jesus Christ. And the rooms are filled to overflow. Because this man, who is of an Indian heritage, Eastern Indian, will stand up and in a powerful intellect will proclaim Christ and do battle with the reasoning powers of this world, of all the philosophies and the logic systems. He takes them on head on and reasons them into subjection to Jesus Christ. That is a giftedness that doesn't come to many men. But there is an example of the gift of evangelism. Some of you may have that gift of apologetics. No, you're not a Ravi Zacharias. You're not a Walter Martin. But God has granted you a mind that is, excuse the old-fashioned word, keen. Your mind is keen, that is, it's sharp. And you love to gather together facts and reasonings, and you're articulate, and God has put that fire within you to share your faith with people that have no faith. And if that fire is in you, you probably have been gifted with the gift of apologetics. The fourth and last one is the gift of evangelism called costly evangelism, and that is the gift of martyrdom. It's the gift of being able to preach the gospel, but it's a self-sacrificing love of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the literal fulfillment of Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, where Paul says, I beg of you, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as living sacrifices, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service.
For those that are gifted with the gift of costly evangelism, they take that very seriously. And they say, I am willing to die for my faith. I am willing to do anything that Jesus calls me to do. Stephen is our biblical example of that. Standing up and preaching to the Jews when he knew that they wouldn't listen. And even while he was preaching, he recognized the hardness of their hearts. And I wish I could have coaxed him on some of his preaching, because you shouldn't do that. You'll get stoned. And he did. He just turned to them and said, you hard-hearted and blah, 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 blah. And he really railed on them with nasty names. Now, I'll probably get stoned here if I ever do that too, give you some nasty name. But Stephen was doing this with the power of the Holy Spirit, an anointing from God, where he said, it doesn't matter to me what it costs. My life is on the line. The most important thing in this world is not my life, it's your lives. There was a young man out there named Saul. And that man heard the sermon, and it pricked his heart. It pierced him deep within, and it stayed with him till the day that he met Jesus. Stephen had that gift of martyrdom. His ministry didn't last very long, and most martyrs don't last very long. I would encourage every one of you to sometime in your life read through Fox's Book of Martyrs. How many of you have read Fox's Book of Martyrs? Probably about 5 people. The rest of you need to get that out of the library. I think we have a couple copies. It's also on the internet in the full form. But read through it. It's an old book that was written to talk about people that did this, that reasoned their faith, stood for their faith, and died for their faith. At one point in time in the history of the church, I believe it was in the 1800s, there were 2 books the most read in the world. The first was the Bible, and the second was Fox's Book of Martyrs. And so convinced was the Church of Jesus Christ that we need to give our lives that people were influenced by this book. If you have the gift of self-sacrificing love for Jesus, there is a willingness in your heart to do anything. We had a young man in our church that had no outward speaking abilities. He didn't seem to have the gift of personal evangelism. And I wouldn't say that he had the gift of apologetic evangelism. But he was willing to go where Jesus says go and do what Jesus says to do. He was an intellectual, a very intelligent young man. He went away to college, and at college he got involved with one of the student Christian groups, and they were going to go to China for the summer, and they were going to smuggle Bibles into China. Well, there's an ethical issue there. Is it right to smuggle Bibles into a country that prohibits you to have Bibles? When you know it's illegal, and you're caught and you could go to prison for it, isn't there an ethical problem with this? Well, this young man reasoned and said, no, there's no problem whatsoever, because they need Jesus. And somebody's got to take the scriptures to them. And I'm that man. And so for the summer, he dedicated his life to take scriptures in. And it was funny to hear his stories. He said they would sew it inside the lining, sew little Bibles inside the lining of their coats. And he's a real skinny guy. So he said he'd have these baggy clothes that he'd wear, and go through the lines, and they'd check them and make sure they didn't have any Bibles, but he'd sneak through and he'd be able to share Christ. Eventually, he spent a year over there teaching English and smuggling Bibles and sharing Christ. He didn't give his life, but he had this attitude and this giftedness of martyrdom that says there's no cost too great, no risk too risky to step out and preach the gospel of Christ. Some of you may have that gift. Usually it comes with the gift of being missionary and being willing to go wherever the Lord wants you to go. But it is a gift from God and begins with that personal sacrifice of your life before the Lord and offering everything to Him. And God takes it and smiles on it and blesses it. All right, let me conclude this message. Do you have the gift of evangelism? Ask yourself that. Do you have a strong desire to share Christ with other people? Is that a burning desire in your heart? Do you enjoy it and delight in it and revel in it? Is it the satisfaction of your life to be able to share Jesus? And have you been blessed with success in leading people to Christ? I know, as I look around the congregation, at least one of our people that has that gift. You know, Linda Long has the gift. She has that gift of evangelism, of child evangelism, ministry to children. Wonderful gift.
Not everybody could do it. We could send some of you out to do exactly the same thing that she does. We could make robots out of you. You do exactly the same thing she does, you wouldn't get any response. Why? Because it's the giftedness, the anointing that's on that person. God takes the personality, the fire that's within, the gift of the Holy Spirit, the wisdom, and the knowledge of Scripture, and He uses it to come together to bring people to Jesus. If you have the gift of evangelism, any one of these areas, if there's a flaming desire in your heart to be a personal evangelist, it's probably because God has gifted you to do so. If there's a desire to reach out to the masses, it's probably because God has put it in your heart to do so. If you desire to reason your faith with the intellectuals and use apologetics, it's probably because God has gifted you in that area. Or if your burning desire is to give your whole self to Jesus in sacrificial service, you probably have the gift of martyrdom and evangelism. Paul says, stir up the gift that is given to you. That means if you have the gift of evangelism, it's given to you as a seed, but it needs to be put into the boiling pot. It needs to be stirred up. It needs to get ripe. You need to use it and keep it up until it blossoms forth and boils over. Anyone with any of the gifts of evangelism, it doesn't come absolutely naturally. It requires that they invest themselves in it. And then he says, make full proof of your ministry. That is, take the gift that God has given you and push it to the nth degree. That means take all of it and give yourself wholly to it, work it out to its completion. As we look at the gift of evangelism or any other gift, we ought to take the gift that God has given to us and say, God, I want to become the very best at this for your honor and glory. Not to compete with other people, but simply to say, I want to use all that God has given me to glorify His name. Do you have the gift of evangelism? Then the Lord calls on you to begin stirring it up and to sharpen it and hone it that others might come to Christ. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we look at these things, we sometimes get frightened by it. Many of us do not have the gift of evangelism in any form. But Lord, you have gifted a few people within the church. In some churches, you've gifted a lot of people within the church to reach out and bring people to Christ. And I pray here for our congregation, Lord, you alone know who you have anointed. You know of young people and older people and adults that have these seed gifts already given to them. I pray that they will be able to invest it in your kingdom and sharpen their skills and become able evangelists to bring people to Christ. Use us as a congregation, Lord, to lead many hundreds and even thousands of souls to Jesus because we're faithful in this thing. This we ask in Jesus' name.